welcome to this week's Radio Free Nintendo. I'm your host, Carl Cassian, and joining me today, reviews editor, Jonathan Metz.
Hola, senor.
Yep. And there's also Mike Sklens.
Hey, for once I'm not mentioned last.
Yeah. and last up is the big man himself, Steven Windyman Rodriguez, site director.
You know he put me last because they were saving the best for last.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's sure. The same reason that we always say Mike last.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, Windy hasn't been on in a long time, and we figured, bring him back on, put some diversity back in the staff.
Let's remind ourselves why we didn't have him on for so long.
Yeah. Why didn't you have me on for so long? I want answers.
As I recall,
really, we don't have enough recording time to cover that.
All will be revealed.
In a commercial. So... let's get things started, and Wendy, since you haven't been on in such a long time, let's start with you with what you've been playing.
Oh, recently. I've been playing a lot of stuff. On my Wii, I got SSX Blur, which
nice.
Good game.
Yeah,
I mean, I liked it, and you know, I played through most of it, and you know, it's mostly just SSX3 retooled, which isn't a bad thing at all.
Yeah.
But as I got halfway through it, I realized, you know, this is kind of simple. And it's not bad. I enjoyed it, but I just kind of stopped playing it just because I have so many other games I was playing.
Same thing happened to me. The problem is that they, like, the tricks aren't as completely insane as they used to be, just like the regular tricks. And even though you're still getting, like, the same amount of points for doing the same thing, the trick doesn't look as cool, and I don't know. But I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah, because in SSX3, you could just tweak your tricks every which way all over the place. They had, like,
but it was almost, it was completely unrealistic at that point.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Blur is fun. I really liked it took me a while to get used to the controls, but after I kind of got it, I really like, you know, spinning and flipping and jumping and tweaking and grabbing and stuff like that. So I stopped playing that, though. And what I did get, and I have been playing through a lot of, is Godfather.
Yeah.
And I read Johnny's review, and I was like, yeah, I need some games, so, I'll, you know, check it out. And I really, really like it. It's really fun.
So I know what I'm talking about.
Do you?
Johnny did not lie.
I guess.
This time.
Yeah, and it's all about the motion controls. It's like I'm showing it to friends, and I'm like, you know, picking up the guy, and I'm, you know, the remote, and I'm throwing the guy with the remote, and, you know, snapping the guy's neck with the remote, and I'm punching the guy with the remote, and I'm like, you know, throwing a guy off the ledge with the remote. It's so much fun to do that. Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think last week you said that, you know, the only bad thing about it is that the game looks like kind of like crap, and it's all dark and kind of muddy and washed out.
I don't think the graphics are that bad. It's just the city design is not all that interesting. I mean, a lot of the neighborhoods look the same, and it's all kind of dingy looking. And,
yeah, it's
I mean,
kind
the character models are really good.
Oh,
actually.
Yeah, the characters are really good. It's kind of the whole city looks bland. I think that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, and it doesn't really have a whole lot of personality. There's no radio stations or anything. Like, the people on the street don't say anything interesting. And I think it kind of misses a lot of that stuff that makes GTA work.
Yeah, I mean, they nailed the story. They just kind of missed the open world exploration part of it. It's just basically you running around a city full of mindless people. But it's still really fun. And finally, I got in Mortal Kombat Armageddon for the Wii.
How is it?
It's pretty good. I'm kind of surprised how it is. Yeah. Just from the standpoint of what the game is, you know, it's got every single Mortal Kombat fighter ever. Plus, like, yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
Plus, like, the, you know, the extra chameleon with a K.
yeah.
The motion controls, they're, I'm still kind of on the fence with them, but you do all your special moves with them during fighting. So if you want to, instead of going, like, you know, down, forward, punch, you just kind of do, like, a half circle motion with the remote. And
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm still kind of getting used to it. Other motions, like, you know, swipe to the left, swipe to the right, or swipe up and swipe down. They're pretty easy to pull off. It's just kind of weird incorporating it into gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And the conquest mode, I really like the direction Midway's taking with the series, the Mortal Kombat series, in that it's still a fighting game. It always will be a fighting game, Mortal Kombat. But they kind of taken the adventure aspect of it, and they're making that mostly like the main attraction almost. They take their, you know, the Mortal Kombat style, the Mortal Kombat fighting, and they integrate it into the single player. And that's really kind of what Mortal Kombat is becoming. And I think that's really good because head-on-head, like one-on-one fighting games, really limited audience. But if you take an adventure game and then put in the fighting game inside of that, you might open up more people to see how fighting games work. And after that, you could, you know, get more people interested in the fighting game genre, which I think is really cool.
Hey, Wendy, did you play the pre-Wii versions on PS2 or Xbox?
No, I did not, but it doesn't really matter if I did or not, because the Wii version also supports the classic controller and the GameCube version. And the GameCube controller.
Wow.
So that's the thing we should probably
be seeing more of.
Yeah, I actually haven't tried it with the GameCube controller yet, just because I'm still kind of experimenting with the Wii controls. But if I wanted to plug in the GameCube controller, it'd be like, you know, the GameCube Plus version.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I asked is because I want to say that the Conquest mode has some extra content in it in the Wii version. And I just wondered if you knew anything about that.
I do not know about that. If I find anything extra, I'll be sure to note that in my review.
Cool.
Let's see. What else have I been playing? I've got more.
I've been gone for a while.
Where do you think I've been? I've been playing games. All right.
You guys
have been talking about Super Paper Mario, and I just wanted to kind of like leave a trailing comment on that. I've already beat it. I beat it couple weeks ago, but mm-hmm. I'm kind of somewhat disappointed with the end game. Like, after you beat the game, you got all the extra stuff to go through. Essentially, what it boils down to is you have to go through four battles of 100 rooms or 100 enemies. There's like no mm-hmm. super secret powerful boss. There's all you get for
it's
beating
just
them. What was that?
It's just enemies.
Yeah, like chapter 6. Have you guys got the chapter 6 already?
Yeah.
No. I'm gonna spoil it for you anyway. Cover your ears. It's like all the Salmon Brothers. You know, during the story, you only go through the first 25, but after you beat the game, you can go back to chapter 6 and go through all 100.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. the only reason why you want to go through all 100, because just the battles after battles are so monotonous and they kind of get boring.
And they're easy because you can just use Bowser.
Yeah, you can just use Bowser and just flame their ass. But
yeah.
But it's just, it has a charm because every single one of the 100 characters have like their own personality. And so even though they only have two or three lines, some of them are just kind of funny. I don't really like they had like the really tiny guys and some of the really big robot guys. And you just wanted to go through just to see what the next guy was going to say. And that's really the only reason why I went through a 100. And what did I get at the end? Mm. Ooh, 7 cards. Wow.
Isn't there like a pit of 100 trials or something like that also, though?
There are two. There's one in Flipside and one in Flopside.
Because I know one of them you get a bonus pixel for completing it.
Yeah, that one lets you run.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Hooray.
Yeah.
See, and Carrie already does that, kind of.
No, but the last pixel stamp is called Dashel, and he actually makes you run really, really fast.
Oh.
Okay. So, you know, you equip it with Bowser, and you can see Bowser go vroom. He just flies.
Yeah, but actually, I think the best combo in the game is Carrie and Bowser.
Oh, yeah.
You have all that mobility and good jumping and the flame.
Yeah, you can flame while you're in the air, can't you?
And you can jump on anything and do double damage.
Yeah.
Because he's Bowser.
Yeah. And you know what sucks about it? And, like, so, like, here, this is the last thing I'm going to say about Paper Mario. But basically, there's the Pit of 100 Trials on Flipside. You get that, you get the bonus pixel. Then the Pit of 100 Trials on Flopside opens up. You do that, you get to the bottom, there's nothing there. It tells you, come back through it again. So I was like, so I get through it again.
You did it?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
It was fun to play through. I mean, toward like, you know, room 60 or 70 the second time through, I was like, I just want to get this over with. So I was expecting some super powerful, uber, super last special boss at the end. And all you do, this is going to be a spoiler, but I'm saving everybody a lot of trouble. All you do is you fight mirror dark versions of yourself. And it's a super easy fight. And all you get is like rare cards at the end. And I was like, God, I just wasted 5 hours doing that.
The cards don't really do anything anyway.
They don't do anything.
I mean, they make enemies easier, but half the cards in the game are of friendly characters.
Well,
don't do anything.
That's exactly. I think the cards you get for doing the last trial are the original characters from the original Paper Mario. Okay. So yeah, I just wanted to say that I am a little disappointed. They could have done a lot more for the old hardcore people like me with that. like, you know, the, like, what was his name, Culex in Mario RPG?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still can't beat that boss.
Yeah, that thing is insane.
Yeah.
It's probably harder than almost any Final Fantasy boss.
Yeah.
Which is saying a lot, because right. there are Final Fantasy bosses that are practically impossible to beat.
Yeah, well, so I was totally bummed. So that's, I mean, the rest of the game's fantastic. I loved it. But come on, come on, Nintendo, you gotta put something in there for me. I want something that'll kick my ass, alright?
That's all right. Steven's I'm daily done. Nintendo tip.
I'm done.
Moving on to what the other people have been playing though. How about you, Johnny? What are you playing?
Oh, mine'll be pretty short. I've been playing Super Paper Mario as well. I'm up to the very last chapter now, like 8-4 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll probably beat that this week. It's probably tomorrow or something.
Okay.
I've been playing an obscene amount of Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I say, Pokemon is so easy to dump hours into because it requires about 25% of your concentration. So you can
probably
do
less.
So many other things. I mean, Saturday, I had one of those days where I didn't even want to get out of bed. I mean, I just was completely pathetically lazy all day. So what I did was I sat on the couch and watched TV all day and played Pokemon and felt
nice.
Like a bastard afterwards. I mean, it was a complete waste of a day. But I got my Pokedex over 100 and I'm up to 7 badges now.
Sweet.
So that's got to count for something when I die and go to heaven, right? So.
You've surpassed me now. I haven't played Pokemon in a while.
And then today I downloaded Mylan's Secret Castle, but maybe I'll talk about that later.
Mm. Okie doke, and Mike, you're last. What are you
actually
playing?
As these guys were talking, I've been playing Planet Puzzle League.
Oh god.
It showed up at my door today, and I'm like a huge Tetris Attack, Paneled Upon, whatever the hell you want to call it, fan. I'm not extremely good at it. I'm sure Steven could beat me, but I'd like to think I'm okay. I actually lost my first online match though.
Oh.
But it's,
you know,
lots,
actually,
it's lots of fun.
Actually, I am not that good at Pound Upon.
Oh.
It's one of those out of the big three, I think that's my weak spot.
It's so much easier to play with the touchscreen. Unbelievably easier.
What are the big three?
Tetris, Pound Upon, and Puyo Puyo.
Okay.
What about
Dr.
Mario?
Puyo Puyo was that big deal.
Tetrisphere. And Jenga.
And then
those are the big six.
I've been playing Act Razor.
More Act Razor. Huh?
I'm at
the final
area. Like I've cleared all the 6 levels and I'm on the final boss area now. And I'm getting my ass kicked because I've been relying on magic to destroy all the bosses. Like I've just been sitting there and taking damage while I cast Starfall and destroy the bosses in like 30 seconds. But now that I only have 6 uses of Starfall and 7 bosses to fight, I'm completely screwed.
Uh-oh. Well, yeah, there's
that.
You have to
actually learn their patterns.
I have to learn their patterns, and also I've come to the conclusion that there are some, and all the boss fights you do in the Gauntlet are sped up versions of the regular fights. So like the first boss you fight in the game is like a Minotaur, and he's really easy. You just jump over his attack and then move in and hit him with your sword a couple times. But in the Gauntlet, he moves so fast that you really don't even have time to dodge his attack. And the better strategy. It's to just let him land on you. He'll do 1 or 2 damage to you, but in that time, you can swing your sword 5 times and do 5 damage to him. And you have the same level of health, so...
Hey, what do you guys think about, you know, the boss gauntlet before the last boss at the end of the game in general?
Hate it.
I'm not the...
Generally,
well, I mean,
it's
done well sometimes. It's done well sometimes and sometimes not so well.
The only one that's cool, and this isn't even really the same thing, but in Mega Man 3, when you go back and fight all the bosses from Mega Man 2,
that's really a good idea.
Because,
because
they're remixing Mega Man 3 levels and putting Mega Man 2 bosses, two per stage in each one, and you get to try to figure out which of your Mega Man 3 weapons will work best against the Mega Man 2 bosses.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a really cool idea, and sadly, I don't think they've ever done it again in the series.
Right.
But, you know, of course, Mega Man, the series as a whole, is like the ultimate culprit of the boss gauntlet.
Totally.
I mean, every single game is like that, even the
fight them all again.
Yeah, and it's just not that much fun to me.
Well,
and then, you know, you get like one energy pill between each one.
Yeah, and that's the thing about ActRaiser is if I got like a health power up, like even halfway through the entire gauntlet, I would be so much happier. It's so, so hard. I've got like five lives because your zero life counts. And then, but the problem is your magic doesn't regenerate after you die. So it's not like I can cast all my magic, die, and then respawn with all my magic. You have 6 uses of it for the entire gauntlet.
Hmm.
You know that the Kirby series is really the only series that knows how to do such a boss rush mode because they make it an optional mode. It's like,
right,
get through the bosses as
different.
Fast as
yeah.
you can.
And Resident Evil does that too.
Castlevania does too.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and skip what I've been playing because
yeah,
it's
who cares
been...
about you, Carl?
Well, I mean, you know, I graduated high school this week,
done.
And I've been kind of, you know,
yes,
it's been
okay,
party.
Okay, let's
I've been
on,
playing
Carl.
The game
yeah.
of life.
He's got the pink car with 2 kids in it.
So I'm going to go ahead and just skip what I've been playing this week. And we're going to move on to our first segment, which is Community, which starts out with Virtual Console Mondays. And Johnny, the first game on our list today is Milan's Secret Castle.
My lines.
I don't care. I'm going to say Milan. So there.
Milan is a city in Italy. Milan's Secret Castle, and I'm going to say this in my VC Mondays write-up, so this is kind of not a preview. It's kind of like an epilogue by the time people hear this. But it's basically the original NES Metroid on LSD. It plays virtually the same way. You run and jump around on platforms, and you have a projectile weapon, in this case bubbles, that you can they shoot up at an angle, but you can hold down and they shoot downwards as well. So you shoot those at enemies and you collect upgrades that eventually by the end of the game you play it quite differently than you do at the beginning because you have so many abilities. And you have an overworld, which is the outside of the castle, and then you have all these places. At first it's just doors, but then later windows, and then later windows that you have to have the saw to break into, and then later you get the hammer and you can actually just bust into the wall wherever you want to. So that's the overworld, and then every time you go into one of these entrances in the outside of the castle wall, you're in a level, and there are, I don't know, a dozen levels, maybe more. But they're all really complicated, tons and tons of secrets. Like, there's all kinds of blocks that you can shoot.
Hence the name of the castle.
Right. I mean, it's completely... if you love exploring levels, like, if you're a fan of, like, Wario Land level design, where sometimes it drops you in a level that looks really plain until you start trying to break through the walls and you realize there's all this stuff that you had no idea was there, Milan's Secret Castle is a lot like that. They have places where... I mean, the stages typically are kind of rectangular shaped, and there's several screens large. There are a lot of places where you can shoot a hole into the wall of the level itself. And a lot of times you have to go shrink before you can fit through that hole, but when you go through that hole, it'll either take you to a completely different level, which there may not be any other way of getting into, or it might take you to a secret shop where you can buy one of the upgrades for less than the typical shop. And
I think I own this game.
It's really cool stuff. I mean, the level design is very interesting. The problem is there's no guidance whatsoever. And it's very much like the original Metroid in that way. There's just, you basically, it's trial and error and very thorough exploration. And you just kind of have to be patient with it and check every single nook and cranny before you can find what you need. And the secret places in these levels, some of them are just money. They're just kind of bonus stuff that makes it easier to buy certain things that you might want or whatever. Sometimes they're like little honeycombs that increase your life bar, but a lot of times it's a secret shop where you have to buy an item that is required to progress in the game.
Yeah,
so,
I remember hating
places
this
are
game
not
as a
optional.
Kid.
It's very frustrating if you're not meticulous in your exploration. And a lot of people feel like this game really can't be played through without a guide. And I'd say if you're not very patient, get a guide at GameFAQs and play through it, because I think you'll probably have fun with it that way. It is possible, though, to play through the game without a guide. I mean, I did it when I was a kid. My sister and I sat down.
Because you're a sadist.
No, it's because, you know, it was back when we got one new NES game every 6 months. And we had that time, and we were patient, and we didn't care. We'd have a whole summer to play through the game. But the other cool thing is the original game didn't have any kind of save or password system, but it did have a continue code where you can just hold left and press start after a game over, and you'll continue with all the stuff that you already had. So now that it's on Virtual Console, you can do the, you know, the home button save state thing, and basically it makes the game a lot easier to play through progressively rather than having to start over from the beginning every time.
Right. Cool.
I recommend it. I mean, it's not for everyone. It is challenging, and you know, it's going to test the patience of some people. But I think if you're really into Metroid type games, then you'll like it a lot.
Which is funny because Jeremy Parrish hates it apparently.
Well, Jeremy Parrish can you know
do something that's not acceptable on this podcast.
Yeah, and Chris Kohler called it hilariously bad. I just disagree. I mean, there are some localization problems that are really funny, and there are parts of the game that are so whacked out and drugged out that it is funny to look at, obviously, but it's not that bad. I mean, if you understand how to play the game, and if you adjust to the kind of slightly weird controls, there's a lot of fun to be had in this game. And that's not nostalgia talking. I just played like 2 hours of it today.
Mm.
It's fun.
Well, the next game on our list is Toe Jam and Earl in Panic on Funkotron on the Genesis.
Ooh, more Toe Jam and Earl. Love.
Did anyone here play the first one on
Virtual Console? I've got it on Virtual Console. It's really fun.
How was
it? It's like totally not the game you would expect it to be. It's, I don't know. It's
so this is more
else.
The same, I assume.
It's like...
So if you like the first one...
Toe Jam and Earl is almost completely non-violent. You're just like run around and avoid things and get parts of your ship back. And occasionally you get like an item that'll let you like trip the bad guys up. But other than that, you're basically... The entire game consists of running away. But the cool thing about it is that all the levels are randomly generated. So it's different every time you play.
Well, that's cool.
Now, that's not the case though in the second one, is it?
I have no idea. I've never played it.
I don't think so.
The second one, I saw some screenshots and it's like a 2D side-scrolling platforming game.
Oh yeah, that's
like
definitely
Mario
not the same
Sonic
then.
Style.
Yeah.
Well, so, check out our Virtual Console Monday write-up and you will know.
Yeah.
Mm. Next up, Dead Moon, which is another TurboGrafx-16 shmup on Virtual Console.
You know, I wonder why. Well, obviously, the TurboGrafx-16 was kind of like a haven for, you know, shoot 'em ups. But I kind of wonder why, with the more general audience of the Wii, what are they thinking that people will just open up the genre because there are so many shoot 'em ups available?
I've noticed myself, like, I'm not a big shmup fan, you know, I mean, in general. I mean, I'm okay at them, but I'm not like. I don't go out and buy them en masse, but I've definitely been more interested in them because they've been so prevalent on Virtual Console, and because a lot of them are actually good. So, I can see the reasoning in it, I guess.
Yeah, but you can oversaturate, maybe.
That's true. I will agree with you on that.
I think they passed that point a while ago.
Like, how many of them are on Virtual Console now? Do we know?
A lot.
Gotta be at least a couple dozen by now.
Take all of the games that are on TurboGrafx, take away five, and you've got it.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, other systems worth.
Yeah.
And yeah. There are a couple on NES, like Xevious and Gradius. Mm-hmm. There's Gradius 3 on Super NES. There's Super R-Type 3 on Super NES. There's Star Fox, which is kind of a shoot 'em up.
Yeah.
And it's 64.
Well, not sort of. In the traditional sense. No, it's not really.
I mean, it's basically the same thing from a different perspective.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you're moving the camera.
Well, last up here is on our list is the 100th Virtual Console game, and I think a very good game, Zelda 2: The Adventure of Link on the regular Nintendo.
They could have picked a lot better games for 100th game. Like, it seems like an odd choice to me.
I'll agree with you on that, but I think that this game has a very bad rep that it definitely doesn't deserve. It's a good game, it's just not really a Zelda game. It's very different,
it's,
and I think because of that,
different.
People hate it.
I mean, everybody expected the second game to be a lot like the first.
And it wasn't.
And it kind of was, but
sort
then
of.
They threw in the, you know, the side-scrolling parts, the RPG kind of elements, like the magic
towns.
And stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a sad
I am error.
I think that is a sad excuse, because in America, Super Mario Bros. 2 is the same situation. It's completely different from the original.
But it's still
a platformer. Everybody loves it. Everybody loves Super Mario Bros. 2 on the NES, even though it's completely different. I don't know anyone who felt like they got the rug pulled out from underneath them when that game came out, because it's awesome. I think the reason that people don't like Zelda 2 is because it's not as good as the other Zelda games. And
but it's still
that's
good.
Not to say it's a bad game, But not only is it different from the rest of the series, it's just not as good. It's just not. It's not as much fun to play.
It's very hard.
Yeah, I could never get into it.
So I think the rap against it is that it's maybe not worthy of being a quote-unquote Zelda game.
Mm. Well, I mean, you know.
Which is hogwash.
For a long time, Wind Waker wasn't worthy of being a Zelda game, so that's kind of crap. No, but that's what I'm saying, exactly. When it was, because it's cel shaded, it's not a real Zelda game.
Anybody who plays through that game knows it's a real Zelda game, and it's probably the best Zelda games in terms of the story.
Mm.
And I'm sure people who've played through, you know, Zelda 2 will say, yeah, it's a little different, but still a Zelda game.
Wendy, what is the story of Zelda 2?
The princess has fallen asleep, and you have to save her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you elaborate, please? Since you say it has the best story.
No, Wind
Waker. Oh, he's talking about Wind Waker. He's talking about Wind Waker.
Yeah.
I heard that wrong. I thought you were saying Zelda 2.
No, Zelda 2 is a very
Zelda 2 story.
Smoking. Okay.
So cliche. Wind Waker's the best story, man.
Yeah.
No. Wind Waker's story is very good, but Zelda 2 story is cliche. The princess has fallen asleep. Save her.
Wind Waker's the best because you get to run a sword through Ganon's head at the end.
Word.
I still can't believe that.
That blew my mind because that game was like the antithesis of that ending, and then all of a sudden, like, Link just friggin' destroys Ganon so hardcore.
I literally gasped and put my hand to my mouth, and it took me a couple of moments to realize that I actually did that.
It blew his mind.
Seriously.
I'm glad that Zelda 2 is out now. I know it's been out for a while in Japan. I'm glad it's out. I'm glad people can download it. I'm not bashing it, but it seems like if they're going to treat this like a milestone, and Nintendo has, they sent out a separate press release on Friday about this game and then announced it again along with the other games today. If they're going to make a big deal about the 100th Virtual Console game, it should probably be something that people are clamoring
for. Super Metroid?
Like Super Metroid.
No, not really, because there are a lot more to come than just 100. There's going to be like 200, 250, 300, 500, 1,000.
500th, 1,000. Take that.
So, you know, Super Metroid has like game 250, and 250 is a little more monumental than 100, don't you think?
No.
Well,
not in terms of
but that's really still no excuse for them not to give us now. We want it now. Now.
By saying that, if they choose to keep a huge game like Super Metroid, a huge hard-to-find game, for yet another milestone, it means we're going to have to wait a hell of a long time for it now, when really that's a game that obviously we would prefer to have now. Zelda 2, I could wait another 6 months before Zelda 2 comes out. Wouldn't hurt me a bit.
Let's not go too heavily into this, because this is something that we're going to be discussing later in the podcast. All right, well, we're going to move on to listener mail.
They're mailing us like hotcakes.
Yeah, I guess.
I wish they were mailing us hotcakes. I could totally go for a hotcake right now.
Yeah, I've been kind of craving them lately.
McDonald's hotcakes have like this funky taste to them that I can't handle. I was raised on pancakes made out of like Bisquick and pure flour and stuff like that. Something metallic in hotcakes.
So anyway, Carl, what's
anyway listener mail? Rusty says, and I just love the name Rusty. I want to thank you guys for talking about Pokemon Pearl and Diamond so much. I've never played a Pokemon game before, but now I'm totally hooked.
God.
One question though: what is the origin of my Pokemans? Let me show you them. I've seen it all over the internet, but can't figure out where this started. Does anyone actually know?
Like many things on the internet, it probably started at 4chan.
4chan
or something awful forums.
Or then NeoGAF.
No, NeoGAF. NeoGAF doesn't start anything. They just pick up on stuff.
Oh yeah.
As far as I can tell, everything starts on the something awful forums or 4chan now.
The only thing, I don't know. The first place I saw it was on a Photoshop.
Right.
I don't know if it originated somewhere else, but it's a pic. You can find it easily. Just Google Pokemans, probably, and
or my Pokemans or.
That and a lot of weird porn that you will wish you'd never seen. But the one I saw was like a Photoshop of these two cats.
Yeah, that's the one.
It's made to look like he's holding a Game Boy Advance, I think. Like an original Game Boy Advance.
That's the
one.
And
he's saying, my Pokemans, let me show
you.
And the other cat is kind of peeking over his shoulder.
The way I've seen it is laid out is sort of like one of those motivational posters where it's, you know, got a picture and then like a word and then a short description. And this one, it's just the cat with the Game Boy, and then the word is replaced by the phrase, "Let me show you my Pokemans," and then the motivational catchphrase below that is, my Pokemans, let me show you them.
Yeah. I just love the grammar there. That's half the funny, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's an early translation that wasn't kept in one of the games.
No. It has more to do with, like, little kids running up to their parents and saying, let me show you my Pokemans. Like, no, actually, it's, that's where I think
usually
what I
it's
saying.
More that the usually it's more that the parents mispronounce.
Oh.
The kids. Usually
Jim
it's the parents.
Pokemon.
I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. I've seen this of like parents who have small children standing around and having discussions about Pokemon because they're all amazed that their children are so addicted to it and they're trying to figure out what the appeal is and they sit around and talk about it and they have no idea what they're talking about. It's really sad. Yeah.
Mm. Well, he goes on to say, I also love the recent dramatic reading of the Elebits dialogue. I'm glad you simply just read it and didn't change anything. There's really nothing you could do to make that any funnier. Exactly. And that was Johnny's commercial, all his ideas, so congratulations,
that's
Johnny.
That's a really good idea.
Mm.
We could have got Morgan Freeman to read it for us.
I don't think
no, I think he's on
the only thing I...
The March of the Elebits.
The only thing I altered was to say dot, dot, dot. On the hill lips. And in fact, there I had another one written down, and I forgot to say it on that one because there were actually two places. And the reason that was funny to me is because in the dialogue, when you watch it on the screen, they put ellipses where they really don't belong. Like, it doesn't even make sense. The whole thing is so bizarre, and the voice acting. I know it probably if you haven't played it and if you haven't seen that cutscene, it sounds strange. Like,
yeah, it definitely
this
did to
weird
me.
Weird dialogue coming off from one person. But the thing is, in the game, I think they basically had one or two voice actors doing all the voices. So it's almost equally confusing in the game. Like, I watched it the first time, and I'm like, what the hell does that mean? What are they, you know, because it jumps from one character to another, but it's the same voice actor. So you don't know that it changes, and you have no idea what they're trying to say.
Right. Well, he goes on also to say, oh, and could you maybe keep Evan off the show for a while, or at least keep him from being such a whiny bitch?
Nice.
Well,
nice.
I like this guy. I like this Rusty. He's going places.
I'm sure Evan will be back soon.
And he also says, love the show. Well, thank you, Rusty. Oh, and we've got one more comment here. Andy says, in reference to our Rickroll commercial from last episode, this is the most surreal and amusing moment of any podcast released this year. I will never be the same. And
any
we'll never be the same, Andy.
All of podcastdom? Or
heads, up,
all
the heads up, kids. Rickroll is done already. It was the shortest internet fad ever.
No, I will keep it going.
We'll put another Rickroll in the commercial break because we're going to go.
I have no idea what Rickroll is.
Well,
you're
going to
find out, Wendy.
Wendy,
you're going to find out right now because we're about to go on a commercial break.
Wait, hold on. No, we're not going to play that.
Oh,
God.
No, it won't be there.
No, I was. You know, when I heard it last week, I was a little upset because I had intended for Carl to use a portion of the song that I sent him and just pick out the best part. And instead, he used the entire thing, and I'm like, oh, God, this goes on forever. And my favorite comment in the talkback thread, I think it was Shy Guy, he said, first it was funny, then it went on, it was going on for too long, and it stopped being funny. Then it became funny again just because of how insanely long it was.
Yeah, I just totally skipped that section.
Oh, man.
You would skip it.
If you get the AAC version, you can skip over Rickroll.
Yeah.
And that's an incentive to subscribe
Chapters
to iTunes.
Are very handy.
Bam.
Yes, they are.
All right. Well, now we're going to go on a commercial, and we may or may not have a Rickroll. I haven't decided yet.
Oh, hey. It's an IM from Johnny. I wonder what it says. What? A new trailer for Metroid Prime 3? I'm going to click on this and watch it all the way through.
Will no stranger love? You know the rules, and so do I. Four commandments, what I'm thinking of. You wouldn't get this from any other guy. I just wanna tell you how I'm feeling. Gotta make you understand. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you. Never gonna make you cry. Never gonna say goodbye. Never gonna tell a lie and hurt you. We've known each other for so long. Your heart's been aching. You're too shy to say. Inside we both know what's going on. We know the game and we're gonna play it. And if you ask me how I'm feeling, tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you. Never gonna make you cry. Never gonna say goodbye. Never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
I don't know what that's about at all. Honestly, I'm just confused. Oh wait, there's more to the video.
Good evening, this is Rick Astley. Sorry, but our princess is another castle. You've been Rickrolled.
Rickrolled? Rickrolled?
No.
Okie doke, and we're back for news. First up, George Harrison talked to Chris Kohler over at Game Life. Yes, that same Chris Kohler who we just called out for not liking Milan Secret Castle.
Milan!
I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to call it Milan, so there.
Rhymes with pylons.
I don't care. And he says that the Wii could represent more than 50% of the hardware sold during this generation. Maybe.
That's a very lofty goal, even if the Wii is blowing up.
But, you know, there was news that came out today that it's outselling the PlayStation 3 5-1 in Japan.
Eh? I mean, didn't the PS2 represent 50% or more of the hardware sold last generation?
Yeah.
So,
the funny thing is, at this point, Nintendo is already almost at 50% as of this date.
Of current generation.
In America, they are. And that's what George was talking about. I mean, Xbox has sold, what, about 10... I don't even think
12,
it's that. No,
12 and a half.
That's their two retail. That's not how many they've actually sold to people. It's probably about 10 million. 10 and Wii is already up to...
7 or 8.
In America? No, they're not that high.
I think they're on 6 right now.
6.5 then?
Yeah. So, and then PS3 is less than a million.
Like 10.
So, well, yeah, PS3 might be at a million, but it's not... It's not much higher than that. Yeah, so Nintendo is already around in that range of 50% already, give or take a little bit. So basically, he's saying if we can keep doing what we're doing now and nothing changes with the competition, that's a big assumption. But yeah, it's doable. Yeah. Sure.
Okie doke. He also says that developers who focus on Halo and GTA type games are going to be missing out on a huge chunk of the new gaming audience, and that's of course the audience
that
the Wii is attracting.
This is just Iwata speak.
And I suppose
mouth.
That's true. I mean, but if you think about it, I mean the people who are buying the Wii specifically for Wii Sports or, you know, I guess Big Brain or those type of games aren't really the type of people who are into Halo and GTA. So If that audience really explodes, there could be some truth to that.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because I think some third parties are assuming that once people get on Wii Sports and get on Wii Play and get on those, you know, simple Wii games, then they might think, well, they're already into gaming now, so they can just jump up to
Halo,
you know, Red Steel or something like that.
I sincerely doubt it.
I don't think that's going to happen. And I think that developers are like especially on the DS. I mean, the similarities between the DS from where it started to where it is now to where the Wii started to where it is now. Obviously, the Wii is getting there a lot faster because people have already learned their lesson with the DS. But, I mean, you can't just release the same old crap for the Wii or the DS even. You have to make stuff specifically designed for the Wii, specifically designed for a certain audience. You can't just, you know, come up with your Halo and GTA, although we
would
like
Wii Sports is the Halo for Wii. Basically, it's the game that every Wii owner wants.
Did you just say Wii?
I said Wii owner.
No, you said Wii owner.
Okay, you skipped.
Yeah.
Wiener.
But we've coined a new term. But you know, actually, I think as far as the old series kind of getting old to people, I think Rockstar is doing the right thing with GTA 4 in that they're kind of really completely redoing the series with this one. They're kind of starting over from scratch and doing something quite different from San Andreas. And I don't think Bungie is doing that with Halo 3, not from what I've seen. It seems to be basically a fairly conservative step.
Well, from what they're speaking graphically, they have tone. They haven't put as much into the graphics for the online because they're more concerned about netcode. Now they say it's going to look a lot better in single player, but you know.
Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the game is basically the same thing.
And, well, yeah.
I mean, from what we know now.
As far as the online is concerned,
I think Nintendo is, you know, that may be a problem. I mean, people...
But Johnny, I mean, is Halo ever going to cater to a casual audience?
It does. Probably.
Halo's in every
dorm room. Sort of, yeah. It has a very... It caters to a mainstream audience.
Well, is my mom going to pick up Halo?
It doesn't cater to a casual audience, but it caters to the mainstream gamer. It's not hardcore only.
The mainstream gamer, yes.
It caters to people who are willing to buy an Xbox just to basically play that one game plus maybe NCAA football every August.
It's college.
It does. And that is a casual gamer. It's a person who knows how to play games, but they don't follow release dates and they don't care about the newest game coming out in March.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean.
That's a casual gamer, and Halo has built its reputation on that. Yes.
Yeah, and they're going to get even more of the people with Halo 3, especially with the 360. I was referring to the fact that developers need to make games that aren't just for that crowd, and Halo will never be a type of game, or GTA will never be a type of game that reaches out to those people that Nintendo's trying to reach out to with the Wii.
No, and I think what's actually going to happen this year, now, there will be continued sales next year that will improve this situation, but I think what you'll find this year is that the sales of Halo 3 and especially GTA 4 are going to pale in comparison to the sales of the previous games in those series because of the poor market penetration
of
the 360 and the PS3.
Yeah,
and that's going to be a little shocking to a lot of people, I think. But you're
Halo 3 is not setting any launch date records.
Obviously, they're going to sell a lot of new...
Like its predecessor did.
No, it will not. And it will sell a lot of new hardware, and it will do fine. But
Halo
it's not going to sell 10 million copies by the end of the year.
Not the end of the year, but maybe by the end of the life cycle, because it's gonna be totally gonna be like, you know, 360 Super Smash Brothers. It's gonna sell like from now until Halo 4.
Presumably, yes.
Or Halo Wars or whatever the hell it's gonna be.
Halo Wars.
Until Halo 4 comes out.
Well, our next news story is you guys might or might not remember Radio Allergy as being one of the last games to appear on GameCube, or that was going to appear on GameCube, but it's been canceled. And the developer, whose name I don't
remember
because I did not put them in Milestone.
Publisher is O3.
The O3 as a publisher has been cut out. But there's a possibility that the developer will take it to another publisher and put it on the Wii as a port.
Here's the real question. Does anybody really care?
Well, I mean... No, sorry.
There are so many shoot 'em ups on Virtual Console right now.
Yeah, like you release one for the GameCube. It's
you
really
want to pay
GameCube?
$30 or $40 for one that's, you know, not really all that much better than what you can get on.
Or you
can
just
Virtual
go pick
console.
Up.
I
mean, you
it's
know,
like
copy
five levels long, and which is better?
And you know what? That's probably why they canceled it, because they probably realized that.
Yeah.
What's their audience? The people
just
who are already buying Virtual Console games.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if I remember correctly, we actually put up a review of this within the last week.
Yeah, Aaron reviewed the Japanese version.
Yeah.
6.5.
Yeah. Who cares?
I remember right. So
it is, and I played through most of it before I sent it to Aaron, and I would agree with that pretty much with what he said, not just the score, but his general review of it. And I've also played the English version, although it wasn't complete, but from what I could tell, it was almost exactly the same thing. So
right.
I mean, if you're interested in that, I mean, here's the deal. If you're hardcore enough to want to play a game like Radio Allergy, which is very much a hardcore niche title, go ahead and import it. You probably already have a modded GameCube. Go ahead and import it. I mean, it's not that hard to find.
Mm-hmm. Well, last up on the list, there's a rumor that there will be a Wii hard drive at E3.
You know, I there are so many things I'm pessimistic about when you're talking about Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
They're already selling their own branded SD cards, right?
Yeah,
but that doesn't really count.
Well, no, it does count, because as soon as, you know, eventually, if they unlock some sort of firmware...
Well, no, I mean, they're kind of...
games run off the SD card, there's no need for a hard drive at that
They're kind of obliged to, you know, sell their own branded SD card, though, because it has an SD card slot. And people who don't know any better are going to be looking for the Wii-branded ones, thinking it's just, like, another Wii memory card.
But it has its own USB cable. Why would... The same people who think that it only takes Wii SD cards are going to be the same people who think it only takes Wii external hard drives.
And it could if Nintendo restricts it.
Well, either way, they're going to have to update the firmware to be compatible with a hard drive if they decide to release it. And
or an SD card,
A good degree of possibility that if they do upgrade the firmware to enable hard drive support, it will probably be open to all USB hard drives, of which there are many, many, many varieties, not just the Nintendo-branded ones.
And but there's also a good chance that if they open the hardware up to that, they'll probably open it up to an SD card at the same time.
Yeah, I just don't... Okay. I mean, they should at least give you the option, but I just don't really see the appeal of a hard drive, a detachable hard drive on Wii. It totally screws up the aesthetics of the system. It'll dramatically increase the price of the system, which is the best thing that the system has going for it right now, other than Wii Sports being packed in. I just don't really see who would buy this en masse to make it worthwhile. I think it does more bad PR than it does good business for them.
Well, I think when we envision a hard drive, we're assuming it'll be something like, you know, 20 gigs, 30 gigs, 100 gigs, 120 gigs, something like that. It probably could just wind up being like a USB dongle with like 4 gigs of memory, flash memory.
That could be the hard drive.
Yeah, but then why not just get an SD card? Yeah, I mean, there are SD cards that go up to like 8 gigs, so yeah. Well, yeah, but there's actually another rumor that you guys might want to talk about, and that is the rumor that at E3 we'll also see a new Mario Kart. And, you know, I mean, the origin of this rumor, I'm sure you guys remember from the past, that dude Ares and that guy Brooke, the storyboarder for Broken Saints, for whatever, they all had these big E3 reveals. This is what's going to be at E3, guys, you know. There are going to be two adults-only games from Tsunami.
Maybe they should reveal their game Broken Saints, which has been in development since 2001.
Oh, don't hate. Come on.
I'm hating. Those guys going to start false rumors and hype their game for like 6 or 7 years that doesn't actually exist.
Hey,
it's just a
Johnny,
comic book story.
Johnny, this just in. They renamed it to Duke Nukem Forever.
Oh.
Maybe those will be released in a combo pack.
Well, there was another guy this year whose name I don't recall, and I shouldn't have to recall because he's kind of a, you know, you don't need to say his name. Well, he put out this big list of things that are going to happen at E3 and... or that he saw at the Nintendo Media Summit that are going to be shown off at E3, and one of them was this Mario Kart thing. And
behind closed doors.
It's on GAF, and I think that alone tells you how credible it is. And you know, it's
well.
It's,
I mean, what someone predicting that there's going to be a Mario Kart game for
Wii?
No,
he's saying that he saw it at Nintendo Media Summit.
Yeah, well, that's not true. BS.
But will it be at E3? Maybe. I don't think that's something that we should completely rule out. But no,
but they could show anything.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it could really go either way. I mean, they're going to show off something new for Wii, obviously. One new Nintendo franchise, whether it's F-Zero or Mario Kart or something else.
Sure.
I mean, there's a ton of franchises they might... Maybe the Kid Icarus sequel that has been rumored for...
No. Kid Icarus is going to wait until everybody kind of gets their pit on in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, by the time E3 happens, you know, it's only going to be a few months more until... Smash
by the
Brothers
way, I wouldn't count on such a game. You know, Ness was in
both of the
previous Smash Brothers games, and he hasn't actually had a game released in America since way before the first Smash Brothers came out. So it's not a profit.
Well, that is true.
It
did but,
not
you know,
come
Mother,
out
in Mother
America,
3.
That's what I'm
Mother
saying.
3. So kind of...
Ness wasn't in that, was he?
Well, Ness is the, you know... The poster child of
but that didn't but didn't
Mother
it
series.
didn't encourage them necessarily.
But
so
that didn't come out in America.
Surely
Mother 3
he was one of the more
here.
Popular characters in Melee. Did not encourage Nintendo of America to bring out any new Mother games, and they've had multiple chances to do so since Melee came out. That's what I'm saying. I mean, don't go off predicting some kind of Kid Icarus RPG coming out in 2008 just because he's in Brawl. It doesn't work like that.
Johnny,
directed by
Johnny,
Hideo Kojima.
There's going to be a Kid Icarus RPG coming out in 2008 just because of Brawl. No, not really. But there will be some sort of Kid Icarus
revival somewhere down the line. It just kind of Nintendo's got it in their bank. They're developing what 70 million Wii games.
Exactly.
One of them's got to be one like that.
You never know. How many of those games are going to see the light of day? You never know. So, 83 something will be shown off, and will it be Mario Kart? Well, it is kind of that time in the console's lifespan where it would be appropriate.
And
to
if
show
it's,
off any
but,
Mario
you know,
Kart.
That better not be the top thing they're showing off.
It was the
off.
Top thing they showed off
well,
in 2005.
Mario Kart is very popular.
No, so it won't Mario, be the top thing they're so showing Zelda. Off, because they're going to be mainly hyping the games that are coming out this year.
Exactly.
Right. It'll be Brawl and Galaxy and... Well, not.
Hey,
well,
guess
yeah,
what?
Corruption.
The years
and
when
that
they
new Kirby
show
game. Rawr!
Huge games that are coming out the next year at E3 are the years when they don't have anything decent coming out that year. Like the year that they showed off Zelda Twilight Princess for the first time, that was in 2005. Do you remember what else they had at E3 2005? Because I don't.
Path of Radiance.
That's why they showed off Zelda, even though it wasn't coming out that year.
Whatever.
DK Jungle Beat.
Yeah, and I love Jungle Beat, but it was not a head turner at E3 by any means.
No.
So yeah, that's those are our rumors for this for E3. And then there was another one I saw that there are going to be new colors of Wiimotes and whatever.
That will not be happening at all until Nintendo can get demand and supply under control.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Well, you know, they just
Just like they're going to be just like they're having new colors of DS in Japan now because demand's kind of settling down.
Yeah.
New colors, demand,
demand
shoots back up.
Is demand settling down in Japan, really? Because I haven't seen any indication.
It's relative.
Well, no, I mean, people are starting to be able to find them without, you know, killing people.
They're just strangling people without killing people.
Now, you know, they need to spike the murder, so they're putting in new colors.
They're on orange alert, and they want to get back to red.
Right. And there actually is one more news story that we can talk about. Nintendo reported that on their Wi-Fi connection that there have been, if I'm remembering correctly, 5 million unique connections.
Not bad.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
I'm going to say about half of those were for Lost Magic.
Oh, come on. Come on. That's a cheap shot. But it's definitely good. And if you look in there, it says unique connections. So it's not actual connections. It's 5 unique people. Although, I guess you could say that people who rebuy DS Lights or whatever.
Oh, that's
could be
insignificant.
Some of those.
That's
right. That's
a
very small number.
A lot of people who've been playing online.
Exactly. Well, and
okay, that's not insignificant. And this number also includes people who bought multiple copies of Pokemon and connected those to the internet in Japan and now America. Because it has a different pair. You know, it pairs the game to the system when you go online. So it's gonna register each of those as unique. Connection.
Well, also consider this, the fact that that's only 1/8 of the DS user base, because there are more than 40 million DSs out. And also consider the fact that there really aren't that many compelling online experiences on the DS.
This is also true.
Yeah, and you know, this is actually, if you look at it as a percentage of the user base, this is well below what Nintendo was hoping for when they first announced the service with Mario Kart.
Didn't they say 40%?
Animal Crossing. Something like that.
Yeah.
They had really high expectations for the number of people who own DSs willing to go online, and they haven't really hit that. I mean, 5 million is an impressive number. I mean, it kicks the ass of the 360 Live user base for sure, which is kind of supposedly the
well, not percentage wise. I think the 360's percentage is like 55 or 60.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's more like 30 or 40%,
well,
but it is.
It's a lot higher because you have to consider there are a lot of people on Xbox Live who aren't paying for Xbox Live, who are just downloading content,
right?
And they count.
Well, but the same goes. I mean, the Wi-Fi connection is free as well. So I mean, you shouldn't go by whether people are paying for it. You should go by whether they're using it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using it in either case. But by sheer numbers, the DS is actually bringing more people online than the Xbox is. But it's a much lower percentage of the user base. And Nintendo, although I'm sure they're happy about this milestone, they have to be thinking, look, if we really want to be taken seriously in the online realm, we gotta get more people involved. All these people who are like grandmothers buying DSs for brain age, how can you get that person to go online?
Mm-hmm.
What can you offer to them that will make them want to? Certainly they don't want to play Metroid Prime Hunters.
Right.
Well...
well,
no,
well,
this is what you do. You make Brain Age 2 online.
Well, that's not
happening. Well, then,
all right,
that's Nintendo's problem.
I'm going to cut you off there, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the 100th VC game, what we want from Virtual Console in the future, and our best picks thus far. So see you after this commercial break. Alrighty, and we're back. You know, we discussed earlier in this episode that Zelda 2 is the 100th game to appear on the Virtual Console. And so we're basically going to go through our notable selections, whether they be good or bad, from each system. And we're going to start out with the NES. We're just going to go around the room, so I'm going to start with you, Johnny. What are your notables of the Nintendo Entertainment System on VC?
Oh, let's see. Ninja Gaiden is excellent, if you don't mind hard games. If you really don't like hard games, you should try Kirby's Adventure. It's a great game, and it's also super, super easy. I don't know. I think Super Mario Brothers is a game that, like, it feels stupid to spend yet another $5 on that game.
Right. But
at the same time, it's such a great game to keep right on the front page of your Wii menu. So when you have people over, they see it, and they say, "Ooh, Mario." So I'll leave the rest for you guys.
Okay. Well, okay, Mike, what about you? What are your notables of the NES?
My notables, I think the only NES game I've downloaded so far is Punch-Out, which is, I mean, just amazing. We've talked about it numerous times about how it's, well, it's just amazing. And then of the other games on the list that I would recommend, Johnny mentioned Kirby's Adventure, and I think that game is definitely a ton of fun. And I don't know. Those are the big highlights for me, really.
Well, Wendy, I know, didn't you write the write-up on Tecmo Bowl?
I think that was actually Pale, but...
Oh.
Yeah, Tecmo Bowl, I think, is one of the better games on Virtual Console. I think it's... Not that many sports games on Virtual Console.
Well, I'm a little disappointed that Tecmo Bowl is on there when Tecmo Super Bowl is, like, far superior.
Look, no. They put that on there because they knew people would buy it, and then they'll put Tecmo Super Bowl on because they know more people will buy it.
When you think of Tecmo Bowl, you're probably thinking of Tecmo Super Bowl because that is the game in which you could do the 100-yard pass.
Well, no. No. When I think of Tecmo Bowl, I think of the NES version because I actually played
Tecmo
the
Super
NES
Bowl is an NES game. Not Super Tecmo Bowl. Tecmo Super Bowl
I'm saying Tecmo Bowl. Which is the NES game.
Tecmo Super Bowl is also an NES game.
This is getting confusing.
Hey, is the one for Super Nintendo called Super Tecmo Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Right?
Anyway, so mine from the NES, Tecmo Bowl, and obviously Excitebike. I just played that.
Excitebike is excellent, actually.
I spent so much time in the track editor just making those H jumps over and over and over and over again. Awesome.
And now you can kind of save your tracks, right?
Yeah, just save state. Well, you've always been able to save your tracks because they did have the battery backup in the NES card.
Oh, maybe it just didn't work on the copy that I used to.
Yeah, play. I think the batteries were kind of bad.
I'm sure they weren't that good.
Yeah. What do you
got,
Carl?
Looking for this through this list, I see some definite stinkers. For one, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Not only is it the only NES game that's going to cost you 600 points, it's also only for masochists.
Yeah, it's punishingly hard.
I remember playing through that game. Like, the first time I played through the damn level.
I remember playing through the first level of that game.
Oh, God. and then I played through it again to do the recommendation for that week. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was dead by the time I even got to the damn. And I was like, damn, I really suck at this game now. And then I realized, no way, this game sucks.
Yeah.
This game just sucks. There's also Urban Champion. Which
that's
I think is universally hailed as the stinker of Virtual Console.
Yeah, all across all systems, nothing will be as bad as Urban Champion.
Well, at least the NES, because when we get the Turbo Graphics, there's a pretty bad game.
Oh, yeah.
Urban Champion, dude?
Urban Champion's pretty bad.
Well, yeah, we'll get to that.
And, so of course, there are great ones like Legend of Zelda, like Johnny said, Super Mario Brothers. Those are always good games to have on hand if you don't already have them.
Castlevania.
I really like Donkey Kong.
That game is just ugh.
Donkey Kong Jr. is really good too. Actually, it might be better than Donkey Kong.
Well, the NES version of Donkey Kong is pretty bad, so that wouldn't be very hard. It's not nearly as good as the arcade.
Yeah.
Whereas I think DK Jr. is pretty good on NES. I think it's a fairly.
Hey, I'm waiting for Donkey Kong Jr. Math.
No, you're
didn't
not.
Didn't I get that? I thought we had that already.
With bated breath.
Well, moving on to SNES.
Pretty much,
Johnny.
Now, pretty much all the games on this list are very good.
Oh yeah.
Right, and Johnny, I know there are a couple here that you really like. So tell us all about those.
ActRaiser.
I knew that was you first.
ActRaiser.
You know, I'm an ActRaiser whore, and I think everyone should try it. It's totally
ActRaiser may in fact
played.
Be the best game on Virtual Console right now.
No.
I mean, it's not like the greatest game of all time. It's probably the best game on Virtual Console that you don't already own three copies of on other systems.
Yeah,
that's why
I rave about it, because it's not already on three different discs on GameCube.
It's a gem for sure.
Yeah, it's never been ported to Game Boy Advance or Nintendo DS or whatever. So it's just a game that this is really the only feasible way you can get it, unless you go buy a Super Nintendo cartridge somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And I know you are also a big F-Zero fan.
Yeah, I mean, F-Zero is good.
They need to put F-Zero X on this thing.
They will.
I'd buy
it's
that
out
like
in Japan.
A heartbeat.
It's out in Japan.
I'd buy that. Yeah, I would buy that in a heartbeat, because F-Zero GX is probably the best game in the series, but it doesn't have Death Race.
Right.
And Death Race is the best.
Rad.
It is.
Especially when I turn off my TV and I just put in some speed metal or something into the stereo, and it's much better.
Well, if you really want a racing game on Virtual Console, F-Zero is one of the only and one of the best. Or if you maybe started the series on GameCube and you want to go back and see where it started, it's interesting. But I don't think it's a game that everyone should run out and buy, probably.
Mm-hmm. And Mike, what about you? What are your notables?
Just looking at the SNES list, Super Castlevania IV, I have that on Virtual Console, and it's really hard, but also really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have Link to the Past, which is... That may be also the very best game on Virtual Console, you know, but people definitely own multiple copies of that, or could easily.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Donkey Kong Country 2. I think it's...
So do I.
It's so
Who
good.
Doesn't?
It's just so good.
It's very good. It's very good.
I think we talked about that, like, last week or something.
Yeah.
Just mm-hmm. Dixie Kong, right there. Game is awesome.
Or Trixie.
Yeah, if you're an idiot.
Take that, Johnny.
There's really, you know, like, are there any stinkers on this list? Apart from maybe, I mean, I've never played Romance of the Three Kingdoms, but that's the only thing
I mean, they're all pretty good. They're all at least competent.
Super Ghouls and Ghosts is a game I would not really recommend to anyone, although I'm not saying it's bad. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone.
Ghouls and Ghosts, because Super Ghouls and Ghosts is one of those games where it's completely your fault if you die.
It's basically training to be a game tester. That's why you like it.
No, it's
yeah, it is.
Because
it
is. I mean, it's just the how the jumping works totally changes the game. Because once you jump, you're committed to that jump angle. You can't change your direction in mid-flight, and that's what totally screws everybody up.
Yeah, they screws it up because they throw so many enemies at you that you have to jump all the time to avoid them. And you end up jumping in situations where you don't really want to, and then you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, but I think out of this list of SNES games, Final Fight is probably the worst because it's the same, like, you know, the crappy port of the arcade version.
There are also some disappointments, like there's Street Fighter II: The World Warriors on the Virtual Console, but no one wants that. What everyone really wants is Super Street Fighter II Turbo.
And funny you should say, though. I mean, yeah, I think I'd rather have Turbo as well, but I actually have gotten a lot of mileage out of Street Fighter
2. I'm sure you have, but given the option, you would have easily chosen Turbo, I'm sure.
True. Yeah, that's
Turbo
true.
Turbo is coming out.
Turbo is the game that everyone owned. No one, you know, that's the game when people owned Street Fighter 2, they owned Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Hey, I owned World Warrior, and I paid $80 for it.
Ouch.
Damn.
What?
Well, that's what Super Nintendo games used to cost.
Yeah.
I paid $80 for Chrono Trigger, too.
That's rough.
Well, at least Chrono Trigger's worth it.
Yeah, and that's American dollars, not Australian.
Or New Zealand.
That's real money.
Well, looking at this list, Gradius 3, have it, love it, great game. Super Mario World, if you don't own it in some other form, is another good game.
It came with your Super Nintendo, most likely, so you probably own it. Or at least when the system launched, it came with it.
You gotta mention SimCity, too.
Yeah, how is SimCity? I haven't tried it.
SimCity's fun.
Yeah, but you know what? It's coming out on DS with a superior interface, so...
Actually, yeah. I've heard that the DS version is kind of tough to play because the screen is so small.
And I can see
I've heard that as well, actually.
So, I mean,
but didn't SimCity...
You know, we'll see.
Did SimCity support the SNES mouse? I know SimEarth did.
It did. Yes.
See, so it supports the SNES mouse, but I can't emulate that through the pointing on the Wiimote, and that just pisses me off. Forget that.
No. Well, moving on to Nintendo 64, there are so few Nintendo 64 games, and they're all good, so what are our favorites? Wendy, what's your favorite Nintendo 64 game?
Out of the ones I currently own, it would be Mario Kart. I'm gonna as soon as I get some money, I'm going to get Star Fox, but, you know, people have been knocking Mario Kart for some reason on Virtual Console. I think it's my favorite Mario Kart game, to tell you the truth.
Because not my favorite, but very good.
I remember back in the day, I mean, I think that's the game I remember most, like trying to get the best times in the time trials. And like I can jump over the center wall in Mario Raceway. So, you know, you can do 3 laps under a minute. That's fun. And you can do like Wario Stadium in under like 40 seconds.
I did that a couple times. That's fun.
Yeah, so it's always fun to jump over the walls like that.
Yeah. In other words, the game is broken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, kind of.
Takes skill to do that, Jonathan.
Well, Mike, what about you? What's your favorite?
I'm going to pick Star Fox. I haven't gotten the update for it because I prefer it the way it is.
Don't you mean down date?
I want... Yeah. Yeah. It's just... Star Fox 64 is great. Everything about it is just... The voice samples are just like... They're right there. And,
Fox, get this guy off me!
Except to me...
Do a barrel roll!
To me it always sounded like Falco or... When Falco says, Fox, give me a hand, it sounds like he's saying something else that's not the word Fox to me.
Oh.
On this podcast. The audio sample definitely is kind of reminiscent of certain other words that begin with the letter F. But yeah, my choice is Star Fox 64, because it's just great.
Well, Johnny, what about you?
I'm going to abstain on this list. I mean, obviously Star Fox is the one you should get. It's the one that you may not already own. It's an underappreciated and awesome game. But I just honestly am really disappointed with the selection so far on N64. It's all these really obvious games that, you know, what kills me is that Super Mario 64 is like the second biggest selling game on Virtual Console. It's like I played that 2 years ago on DS, and it's a better version. So I don't understand it. You know, I wish Nintendo would... Obviously, these are all first-party games, and there are actually some good third-party games on Nintendo 64, but beyond
Shadows
that...
Shadows of the Empire.
Well, no, not that one. But
whatever,
there are,
that game was awesome.
How about Rogue Squadron?
Yeah. You know?
I mean, that was Nintendo published, but there are a lot of games that Nintendo made that they could be putting on N64 that don't star Mario or Zelda. And I wish they would get around to that because I just don't need 20 Zelda games on Virtual Console. I'm just sick of it.
You don't?
Mm.
No, I don't. I've already got them. I don't.
Well,
don't care.
I also probably favor either Mario Kart or Star Fox 64. I like them equally. But the other two games on there, Super Mario 64, like Johnny said, is available if you have not played it by some chance. I don't know if that's possible, but if you haven't, it's there. And then there's Ocarina of Time, which is, you know, it's on the compilation disc on GameCube twice over if you have it on Master Quest or on the
Collector's Edition.
Or if you have it on N64. I mean, I own it, I think, now three times. I have it. I have the N64 card. I have it on GameCube, and then I also have it on Virtual Console because I did the write-up for it.
Well,
and
you're asking $10 for N64 games. You know, that's how much an N64 cartridge costs at a used game store. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to pay $10 for an N64 game, it better be something that I don't already own on three other systems.
Yeah.
I'm just sick of it, man. I mean, I know I sound like an angry zealot here, but it's just, to me, this is really a wasted opportunity on the Virtual Console. They've done so well in some other respects, but...
Well, John, you say it's wasted opportunity, but obviously people are still are buying these games. Who's buying them?
Sheep.
Yeah. I mean, how many... I mean, ouch. You and I both know... I could name 10 people who have downloaded Ocarina of Time, even though they already own it on N64 and GameCube.
Don't you absolutely hate that about Nintendo?
I hope to have to own every version of Zelda on Virtual Console. Guess what? It's exactly the same. You don't have to own it. It's $10. Let it go.
Don't you hate that, though? You know they're going to release the same game, and you're going to buy it anyway.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to buy it. I don't think other people should buy it.
Most people do.
I'll buy things Nintendo like Star Fox is like, I don't have an N64 here at my apartment. It's back at my parents' place. So, you know, if I want to, mm-hmm. Star Fox is the kind of game I can pick up and play for like 20 minutes. It's a good, you know, time waster. It's a lot of fun. So that's the kind of game I might rebuy on Virtual Console. And
that's
in fact,
why
did.
It's the best N64 game available.
Yeah, but yeah, Zelda, I'm not going to, no. And first of all, I have that on GameCube and I have a Wii. So, there's that. But I wouldn't even replay it on the N64 if that was the only version I had because it's just too time-consuming. I've already beaten it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go ahead and move away from Nintendo consoles and towards the Sega Genesis. And there's actually a really, I think, healthy selection on Genesis.
Well, Sega's done a much better job than Nintendo, even though they don't even have any third parties.
They're giving you a lot of variety, at least.
Yeah, it's a very healthy selection. And I'll go first and say that Sword of Vermillion is crappy. It's tremendously bad. All right. The towns are whatever. It's like a regular JRPG town. It's you walk around or whatever. But once you get out of the town, it goes into first person 2D scrolling sprites.
Old school.
I mean, scaling sprites. And it's like, it's awful. It's like and everything looks like the walls are made of Cheez-Its. It looks tremendously awful. And once you get into an actual battle, the hit detection is so crap because it's real time. It's real time battling, and it's just awful. So, what a way to start our Genesis selection with Sword of Vermillion.
There are some good games.
Streets of Rage, those games are pretty good. I own the first one, and I really like
it. The second
one's even better.
The second one's even better, so if you can choose, go for the second one. But I like the first one, so the second one must be better. So, yeah, there you go. I think, personally, my favorite on the Sega Genesis is Gunstar Heroes.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
It's awesome.
That game was so much fun.
It's great. I pick it up every now and then whenever I'm bored, and
you
it's gotta
play
awesome.
With two players too. You just absolutely
yeah, it's really good with two players.
Much thing the game so. That one of the games I was gonna pick, Toe Jam and Earl. That game is absolutely fantastic, but really you need two players. It's not fun without two players. It's completely lame single player.
So Wendy, what's your pick?
Oh, let's see what else we got here. Last week Kid Chameleon came out, and I remember playing that. When I had the SNES, my friend had the Genesis, and we kind of like come back and forth between our houses. But it seemed like what Kid Chameleon was one of those games that kind of made me want to go over my other friend's house and play the Genesis. I have really good memories of that game. I really had a good time with it. It was really cool. You get the Freddy, the Jason thing with the hockey mask, and you just go around. Mm-hmm.
The cool one is when
up.
You turn into the tank that shoots out skulls.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. And another one, Beyond Oasis. I actually was kind of surprised by that. It was a very pretty ambitious, actually, adventure game. Mm-hmm. And it looked really nice. The gameplay was pretty good. It was pretty fun to play. I really liked that. And there's so many. But I think I should also mention Gain Ground.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, I when I started playing it, I thought, man, this is a really slow and crappy Smash TV clone. But
it's not really.
But as I started playing through more and more of it, you go through one level after the other, and you rescue characters. And each character has different weapon abilities, and it turns out these weapon abilities really is what makes the game. Because some characters strafe and move forward, some characters can shoot in 8 directions, some characters have a special weapon that can lob over objects, and it's really. You decide which characters get through which situations the best. And it's actually kind of neat. I go back to it from time to time. I really like it.
Mm-hmm. Johnny, what about you?
Okay, I'll throw out a couple here. I didn't download it, but I have played back in the day Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
I was going to mention that.
It's just a fancy version of Puyo Puyo, but Puyo Puyo is a game that has not been heavily released on Nintendo systems. So if you are not familiar like puzzle games,
Puyo
has.
Puyo Fever was on GameCube and also on DS.
Yeah.
How many people played that?
Well, I don't know, but it was released.
It's Okay, at least back in the Virtual Console era, it was not. And
Kirby's Avalanche.
Okay, shut up. Anyway, if you ever play Puyo Puyo, it's really fun. Actually, it's very cool. And the other one, this one I actually did download. I don't completely recommend it, but Ristar is a well-made game. It's got excellent graphics and nice music, and it's got an interesting gameplay mechanic. The problem is the controls are pretty crappy, and moreover than that, the hit detection is really brutal. I mean, you can get hurt by things that don't even appear to be even near you, and the game moves very quickly sometimes, so it's like it feels like you're kind of hurtling through levels Sonic style, and a lot of times they just throw enemies right in front of you, and you're like on them before you even realize it, and you take damage. So it's kind of frustrating to play through. It's a game that, like, to me, is so close to being excellent, but it's close enough that it's worth your shot if you are way into Sonic and stuff like that, and you're kind of used to bad Genesis controls.
Well, speaking of, you know,
which
well,
I think
Sonic
has too, by the
Sonic
way.
Sonic is a game that's worth mentioning. That's definitely a quality game, but it seems to me that, like, Sega's doing the opposite of Nintendo, whereas Nintendo just seems to be releasing Mario, Zelda every week. We haven't seen anything apart from Sonic Spinball, other than, like, where's
Which
Sonic 2? Sonic 2 is probably the best of the Genesis Sonic games, and it's nowhere in sight.
Hey, I like Sonic Spinball, okay? Don't give it any crap.
No, you don't.
Okay,
you lie.
But, you know, actually, I think a lot of people who... If you like the Sonic series and have not played the original, I think you might be a little disappointed by it. It's pretty crude. And the series, to me, did not get really polished and interesting until the second game.
The second game
also,
the second game's levels
Sonic
are designed
Sonic 3 and
so
Sonic
perfectly.
And Knuckles are also very, very, very good. The original Sonic, I owned it and Sonic 2, and I got to tell you, I really almost never played the first one because it just is not very good compared to Sonic 2.
Well, and I've heard things
it's
about...
It's not a bad game, but I don't think it's aged very well.
I'm not able to do this, but apparently Sonic 2 is designed, like, all the levels are so well designed that you can literally sprint through them without ever having to stop.
Yeah.
Which is really, you know, that's what Sonic's all about, and you can't do that in the first game, but you can in the second, and, you know, they've tried to do some of that with Sonic Adventure, and it really works on some levels in some of the Sonic Adventure games, where you just go right from the beginning to the end, and I had so much fun doing that.
Yeah, Sonic 1 is a lot more stop and go.
The
levels are, there's a lot of spikes and stuff all over the place.
But it doesn't work because
really
he accelerates
you to slow
so
down.
Fast that you really don't have any time to control him.
I know, and the problem is that Sonic, once he slows down, the controls really go to hell.
Yeah, completely.
I mean,
they're crap.
They're really slippery, and it just doesn't work very well when you're trying to, like, jump in between spikes and things like that. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff in the first game. So anyway...
Well, guys, you know what game is really good? Virtua Fighter 2.
Oh, God.
Maybe in the arcade.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
But it is,
man,
I think...
That was a bad port.
It's one of only, like, what, two fighting games on a virtual console?
Maybe, yeah.
Three,
yeah,
if you've
and,
ever been champion.
So, yeah, if... Well, who does?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Virtua Fighter 2, not so great. Let's move on to TurboGrafx-16, shall we?
Oh, and, yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah.
And,
TurboGrafx.
Yeah. So, you know, Wendy, what do you think of TurboGrafx games?
Well, let's ignore the shoot 'em ups for a moment.
Okay, so that leaves, like, four games.
Yeah, four games.
JJ and Jeff.
Oh, God. That game is crap, and I mean that literally, because in the first level, you have to avoid crap. That birds poop from the sky. Oh my God! That I have no idea. God, I hope nobody buys that game, but people will. Oh, let's see what else. I got Bomberman. That was one of the first games.
Bomberman is the first virtual console game I downloaded.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not get a Bomberman game?
Five players.
Yeah, anything more than four players is good.
I've heard that 94 is better though.
Yes, well, but we don't have 94.
Not available.
Do we?
It's out in Japan.
Yeah,
but we're not Japan.
Well, everyone knows the Saturn version is the best because it does 10 players.
I really like Bomberman 64.
Yeah, I really like that
love
too.
That's one of those games that's like, why? I mean, Hudson's obviously a big supporter. Why haven't they brought this out on Virtual Console?
I'll get that immediately. That's my favorite Bomberman game.
It's excellent. Yeah, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else on the TurboGrafx here? Oh, let's see.
I've heard good things about Chu Man Fu, even though it's apparently horribly
racist.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, Chu Man Fu.
It's racist. It is so racist.
Yeah, you go around pushing balls.
It's a puzzle game, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of like a puzzle action kind of game. Yeah, I kind of liked it. It was neat. Well, I approve.
Would you compare it to Lolo?
Seems
that way to me just by looking at it.
Yeah, it's I guess the gameplay is similar. You have to push stuff around and avoid stuff. And Yeah.
Well, okay. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I bought Ninja Spirit, and it's a very good game, so I would definitely recommend that to you if you haven't gotten it. And it's one of the only TurboGrafx-16 games that aren't shooters that's actually good.
So what's the best? If you're going to get one shoot 'em up from TurboGrafx, which one should you get?
Oh, Superstar Soldier.
Really?
I don't know. I don't have any of them, so...
I don't know. Yeah, I'm legitimately asking.
I mean, there's a million shoot-em-ups on TurboGrafx.
Oh,
and you played them all, Wendy, so tell us.
I played most of them, not all of them. I would probably get Superstar Soldier first, just because it's, you know, it's got the lineage. Soldier Blade's kind of in the same lines. R-Type is obviously R-Type. There are a lot of shoot-em-ups, aren't there?
Well, you know, getting away from those, I know if Aaron were on right now, he would talk to us about Bonk.
Oh, yeah. Got to mention Bonk.
There's Bonk's Adventure, I think, and Bonk's Revenge.
Revenge is supposedly
Bonk 3 coming out eventually.
Yeah, Bonk 3 should be out hopefully soon, and I've heard that's actually the best of them, so look forward to that coming soon. Battle Load Runner, I think, is notable in that it was the first... formerly Japan-only game to come to America on VC. Unfortunately, I don't think it's a very good game, is it?
It's tough. It's not
tough.
it's a good game, but it's not for everyone. It's not one of those for everyone.
Okay. Load Runner is a really old school PC game, and just seems like the kind of thing that wouldn't entice modern gamers very much to me.
All right, guys. Well, we've run through a whole bunch of systems.
Have another giant on virtual episode console. In
the can. Yeah, and you know, why don't we go over what we want to see from virtual console? Or I guess we should start out by saying what we've missed most in virtual console,
really?
And what we would like to
How
see.
How about one game? Let's keep it. Yeah, let's.
One
keep
game
it
we'd
one
like
game.
To see in virtual console, for whatever. So, Johnny, what's your virtual console pick?
All right, well, I'm going to call this a Super Metroid Memorial list. And I'll go with a game that you might have heard mentioned on last week's Retronauts in very brief passing. It's an RPG for Super Nintendo. Apparently, it was developed by Quintet, which is the company that made ActRaiser, and it published by Enix, so it has some chance, maybe some hope, of actually being released one day on Virtual Console, unlike the Final Fantasies. It's called Paladin's Quest. And it's a very unusual RPG, and that's why I'm picking it, because I think it's something that most people... I mean, it's very obscure. Not many people have played it. And not only that, but it's very different. The gimmick of the game, and it's pervasive, it makes a huge difference, is that there are no magic points. So you cast all of your magic with your hit points.
Oh.
And it brings in a very interesting dynamic where you really have to decide whether or not it's worth using magic. And the magic is powerful. But obviously there's a big risk of using it. And so I think that makes very interesting, very strategic battles. It also has some Zelda-type puzzles, some minor stuff like that, and kind of a semi-interesting story. So, I'd like to see that game. I loved it back in the 90s.
So, Mike, what about you? What's your pick?
My choice is... for also Super Nintendo, Mega Man X3. Mainly because it is just freaking impossible to find.
It's expensive, too.
Yeah, it goes on eBay for like 80, 90 bucks. And it's available on PlayStation also, which is kind of interesting. But the SNES version, like, obviously doesn't have load times. It doesn't have anime cutscenes, but I could really give two craps about that. It's just Mega Man.
Hey, Mike, let me make a suggestion, dude. Get Mega Man X Collection. It's very good.
I'm tempted, but...
It'll cost you 20 or 30 bucks. You'll get all the Mega Man X games, and including X3, and it plays very well. You can customize your controls in every game. Good stuff.
I may do that, but X3 is my choice because it's excellent. Because I've played it through other means, and it's really good. But I just wish I could get like a hard copy of it.
Mm-hmm. All right, and what about you, Wendy?
I know, but you know what it is. What is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
What is it?
I mentioned it like 20 times in this podcast.
Dude, I don't listen to what you say.
Beat
Go on.
Mania?
Yes. I want the Game Boy version of Beat Mania on Virtual Console. No. For me, the clear and obvious choice is Kirby Superstar SNES.
Really?
It is seriously. It's easily one of my favorite games on the SNES. It's the best Kirby game ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like every type of game you could think of, they just smacked it all in there. It's like the Collectathon
really
Adventure
good.
Quest. Yeah, it's the Collectathon Adventure Quest. It's the the simple and easy Kirby game. They put some fun little mini games in there. There's even a section, like a shoot 'em up section inside of it. And we know we know that everybody's gaga over shoot 'em ups on Virtual Console, so Nintendo, if you want to add one more, you know, put Kirby Superstar on. Come on. Yeah, so.
Well, as for what I want, I'm going to go ahead and choose a game that probably not many people will bring up, but it's important to me. And that is Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 on the Genesis.
Genesis?
On the Genesis?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, why do you want Butchered Controls? I don't think blood's that important.
Well, the thing is, I played it on the Genesis, so it's the version that's important to me.
Does the Super Nintendo version of that one still not have blood?
I think by then they put it back in.
I never played it, so I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I had good times with Mortal Kombat 3, Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3. I played that game a lot.
Hey, wouldn't a better choice be like Mortal Kombat Gold for N64? Because I think...
No, because Mortal Kombat 4 isn't as good as Mortal Kombat 3 is.
No, for N64.
Aren't you thinking about Killer Instinct Gold? Because I don't think there was a Mortal Kombat Gold.
There was a Mortal Kombat Gold on N64, but the thing about it is that it's Mortal Kombat 4.
No, that was the...
No, I'm pretty sure that Mortal Kombat Gold is a 3D game, isn't it?
Hold on.
No. Okay, wouldn't Mortal Kombat 4 be Mortal Kombat 4?
Yeah, okay.
No, but Mortal Kombat
was
Gold
the
is Mortal
Kombat version.
That's
no,
right.
No, there is a Mortal Kombat on N64. It came out
Mortal
like
Kombat
it
was, Trilogy.
Trilogy, that's it.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be better? I mean, you just get more for it and
yeah,
a couple
I
bucks
suppose.
More.
I guess.
But for me, I mean, I remember playing and loving Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3, so for me, that's the game that I want.
Okay.
I'll go with that.
Don't take that away from me, Johnny.
I won't, man. You and Gerstmann are all over that stuff.
So yeah, those are the games that we want to see now from Virtual Console.
Today.
And
well,
is there
Monday.
Are there any parting words before we go?
No, let's just go.
Review us
let's
on iTunes.
Go.
Send us listener mail.
Well,
go
Mike,
to
that's what I was going to.
/.
Yeah, you make my hosting job so hard.
That's because we love. We tease because we love.
All right, guys. Remember, if you want to send us email, it's rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. Feel free, like we said, to go to iTunes, review us, and of course, subscribe. And there will be a clickable link to go to Dig. Johnny's already said that URL, but just in case you didn't hear it, here's what it is. dig.com/podcast/radio_free_Nintendo_MP3. And I do that just to hurt him. Well, guys, this has been Carl Castaneda. This has also been Mike Sklens, Jonathan Metz, and Stephen Windyman Rodriguez. Goodbye.
See ya.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another web... fuck.